The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Thursday, tomorrow Friday, and we roll into another weekend, the last weekend of September. Goodbye. October, November, December 2019 is gone. Holidays just around the corner. Crazy. And we expect, at least I do, Hillary to make the biggest noise of the campaign season the first week of November. That's my best forecast. Today, the first national poll showing Loony Lizzie, the fake Indian, now leading the Democrat pack of losers over creepy Joe Biden. By 1 point, this is just one poll, and we know the poll game. But the big story today is the explosion in the mystery lung-damaging vaping disorder, disease. A mystery, 12 dead now, and nearly closing in on 1,000 official cases of people who are perhaps hospitalized, perhaps going to be hospitalized, but certainly people who have been diagnosed as having vaping lung injuries. This is not a joke. Dr. Henry Nyman offered to come back on tonight. He's been all over this story. And he is standing by right now to bring us the very latest. Hello, Henry. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Jeff. It's good to be back, although it's only been like 3 days. But
yeah,
things are kind of hopping with this. And the jump in cases actually wasn't that much of a surprise. It was kind of telegraphed by a couple of hearings that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday. Ann Schuchat from the CDC testifies. And the numbers kind of creep up in her testimony. She said they had received reports on hundreds of cases. And then really the number of cases, if you count the ones that are confirmed as well as the ones that are already in the hospital, actually is over 1,000. And the reason the confirmed cases is that 805 is kind of how they define the cases. That basically, all of these cases have vaped in the last 90 days and do have pneumonia as confirmed by X-ray. But they kind of fall into three categories after that, and that's all based upon seeing whether if the pneumonia is due to an infection. So
right.
If they have tested them for bacterial and viral pneumonia and they're negative, then that's a confirmed case. If they get some positivity, but it doesn't really get to the level that would produce the kind of damage they're seeing on the x-ray, then it's a probable case. And if they don't have the results yet from the testing for the bacteria and viral, then it's a suspect case, and they haven't been. They initially were reporting the suspect cases, and then they kind of cut back, and they're just reporting the probable and the confirmed cases. So they're cases that have all the hallmarks, but they either have no evidence of an infection, or they have suspect evidence of infection. So it's just kind of an opportunistic infection that probably doesn't
What qualifies somebody to be a statistic in that 800 plus that are reported now to have been suffering from or diagnosed with lung damage? What criteria must be met to be called a casualty?
Okay, it's either right now those 805 are all in the latter two groups that I just mentioned. They either have tested negative for bacteria or and viruses, and they have pneumonia that's been confirmed by x-ray, and they have been vaping in the past 90 days. And if they, basically go into a hospital and get tested, and their doctor reports that they met that criteria, then they would report that to their state lab, and the state lab would send the information on to the CDC. The CDC's got a website, and they update it now each Thursday. And in the States, generally, I kind of spent the last couple of days going from the state website to state website to kind of tally the numbers and see who was doing what. And, they basically run the gamut. Some have a page that is going to be updated. They update it fairly regularly, or at least once a week. And they, and the ones that are further along, not only have the number of cases, but they'll have the, they'll actually, have the number of the counties that are affected. And, ones that are further along will actually have a map that kind of shows the state and shows which counties have cases. Others, basically kind of update by press release. You have to go and find the latest press release to get that. It's not clear how often they update.
Okay. And
then others kind of just have it on the page somewhere.
How many vapers are there in this country? Do we know? Millions?
Well, they put up the numbers. I'm not that familiar with it, but I think the number they've been bandying about is about 20% of high schoolers and up to 40% of seniors in high school.
That's millions.
The majority of the cases are young. The biggest age group is 18 to 35. That's 67% of the cases, then about 16-17% are under 18, and about the same amount are over 35. That's kind of the age bracket. It's becoming increasingly popular, or at least it was up until. I'm not sure what the publicity is going to do.
Let me
do
this.
Well, with
Henry.
Jewel.
Yeah, give me 60 seconds. I'm going to read the half a dozen stories I have put in headlines, which are being posted as we speak. Jewel, the big company, J-U-U-L. Jewel's CEO steps down today amid growing concerns over e-cigarette use. There's one story. Second story, mysterious vaping illness claims 12th life. Cases reported now in 46 states. Number 3, vaping deaths, what to know about lung illness, THC, and vitamin E acetate. Number 4, Tlaib argues with pro-vaping witness at a congressional hearing. Number 5, Army bans e-cigs and vapes, will no longer sell them to troops and personnel. And finally, vape up in smoke? Is global e-cigarette industry on the edge of collapse? We will see. All right, Maestro, it's yours.
Yeah, well, a lot of those, especially the ones that are talking about the CEO resigning and on the edge of collapse, is a result of this outbreak. I mean, the outbreak is, if you go on Twitter, you see people say, well, there's millions of people that die from cigarettes, and they're still legal, and you have, they would always use a lower number of 4 or 6 or 8 people that died from vaping, and now they want to outlaw it. But the problem is that there are two different front time frames. If you went back to the 1920s or something, when people were smoking cigarettes but hadn't really got a whole lot of cancer yet, you could kind of come up with numbers that said, smoking cigarettes is perfectly safe because these guys have been doing it for 10 years and they're fine. So the issue is how much is changing and how rapidly they're changing. And right now, they're changing very rapidly. I mean, these cases just started going up a few months ago. And I mentioned this earlier, the first death was really announced less than a month ago. And so it was a week ago when I did the first interview on vaping. There were just 7 deaths, and then that night there was an 8th death, and now it's up to 12.
That we know about.
And yeah, these are confirmed cases. So a week ago, it was at 5:30, and now it's at 8:05, and that's a dramatic jump. And actually, I thought the 5:30 was a pretty dramatic jump. It had when they first started reporting this. Well, not first, but about 3 weeks ago, they had the number up around 450 or so, and they were counting all 3 categories. So they were counting the suspect cases. So these are people that they had pneumonia, but they hadn't really got the test back as far as whether they were infected or not. And then they kind of stopped reporting on that group, just to get a more homogeneous group. The difference between the ones that, are negative on the test and have a weak positive is pretty minimal, because it's pretty clear that weak positive doesn't cause the type of damage they're seeing in the x-rays. So those are both, pretty certain that they are from vaping. And so they dropped that back to 380 2 weeks ago. And then last week it was 530, so it jumped up 150. And some of the explanation was that, they had dropped it down because they got rid of the suspect cases, and then in the last week they got a chance to get those test results in. And so part of that 150 jump was just because they got results on the ones they already knew about. But then, like I said, they started dropping hints that they were seeing, identifying hundreds of cases since the last update. And then Wednesday they were saying, well, if you count the ones that they don't have the test results back on, they've got over 1,000 cases. And so even the 805 is a pretty dramatic jump. I mean, that was at 805 versus 530 just a week earlier. So the numbers are going up pretty dramatically. The number of deaths, it was 7 a week ago, and now it's 12. That's going up pretty quickly. And unfortunately, this very well may be the tip of the iceberg, and there could be continued jumps like this, even though the word is out that maybe vaping isn't that good of an idea. And exactly what's causing it is still a little bit unclear. The numbers are, if you look at the map that they put out today, it's a pretty useless map. I mean, it's not interactive. So they just have the states colored dark blue if they're positive and kind of light gray or uncolored if they're negative. And it was fairly useless last week because they had 38 positives, and there was no major pattern on the 12 that were negative. And then this week there's only 4 that are negative, and you could almost guess which 4 were negative. They're just 4 of the states that or at least 3 of them anyway have. They're probably the lowest population. I mean, one was Alaska, one's Rhode Island, one's New Hampshire, and the other one that is a little bit bigger is Alabama. So those are the only 4 states in the 50 that do not have at least 1 case. And so it has spread throughout the country, and there are some regional differences, though. For instance, if you go to the website for New York is one of the bigger ones. New York and California both have about 100 cases so far, just under 100. And New York indicates that all of the DHC cases have the vitamin E acetate. And so if you just looked at New York alone, you might think that, and one of your listeners had said this, on the last session, that this vitamin E acetate is what's really causing the problems, and it's a contaminant, and that's what's causing the deaths and the severe pneumonia. But there was pushback on that on these hearings. There were 2 different hearings this week. One was on Tuesday. It was the Oversight and Reform Committee with Subcommittee on Economic and Consumer. And some of the questioners said, well, if you got 80% of the cases have to do with THC, well, that's probably really 100%, and 20% of the people are just lying and saying that, they use it for nicotine and they didn't use it for THC. But they push back on that by saying that, the ones that say they didn't take THC, they just didn't say it once. They've been extensively interviewed. And what they didn't say, but they probably know, is that you can probably tell whether they're lying or not if you can get a sample from their lung. Because just to back up a little bit, there's really 2 major categories. There's vaping of a product that has nicotine, and the nicotine is kind of a water-based compound. So to turn that into steam or vape, you only have to heat it up a little bit above the boiling point of water. So it's 212 degrees at as long as you're at sea level. And but if you want to do THC or CBD products, those compounds are more lipid-like, and to get them to dissolve, you have to put them into oil or a wax base, and then to get that to vaporize so that you can inhale it, you have to heat it up to a significantly higher temperature. It's closer to 500 degrees instead of 200 degrees. And as a result, if you look at the lungs from the people that have the oil base, you'll actually see the lipids. You can stain for the lipids, and you can see the, you know, the macrophages that kind of clean up the, what you inhaled. They'll be full of lipids, so they'll, you can recognize the macrophages by what they look like, and you can stain them and see if they're full of fat, if you will, or full of oil. And so if somebody says that, you know, all they've been doing is taking, nicotine when the water base, I think if they get a sample from them, the staining will be quite a bit different because they won't be inhaling lipids. And so they won't have lipid laden macrophages, so they can look at their results. And,
lipid laden macrophages. That was a pretty good sentence there.
Yeah. And I read it. I didn't make it up. But anyway, that's what they're referring to. And another thing that came out of the testimony is they also gave some pushback on the vitamin E acetate, because that was much touted initially. And you know, the way the history went, there was an MMWR written up for Wisconsin and Illinois, and that... Mm-hmm. They had about 50-some-odd cases there, and they kind of did quite a bit of workup on those cases. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And so that was most of the data that they had, and it was from, you know, those are adjacent states, and they kind of combined forces there. And so they could be identifying a localized situation that might not extend to these cases that are being found nationwide. And what they said in the hearings was that now when they looked at vitamin E acetate, it's not like in, you know, almost all of the cases that are taking THC. It's only in about 50% of the cases. And so you've got, you know, a substantial number of people that have essentially the same symptoms, and they had the oil base because they did take THC, but they didn't have the vitamin E acetate. So the vitamin E acetate.
We got to take a break. Hold on. This story is far from over. I still, when we come back, would like to know how that. Let's assume it's a lipid coating on the inside of the lungs. How can the body deal with that? How can the body heal? How can it get rid of such a coating? Drowning is really not much more than water covering the holes in the lungs through which the air is transferred to the bloodstream. But this is an oil that coats things. And anyway, all right, hold on. We'll be right back with Dr. Henry Nyman as we look at the vaping explosion in this country. Let's get back to it. Henry, what do we know about the damage? Let's just imagine a lipid film is covering more and more of the air exchange little holes. The bloodstream is right there in your lungs. How do you get that to break down, and how do you remove it from the body?
Well, you know, like I said, that's part of the job of the macrophages. So, I mean, you can kind of, if you stop bringing it in, you can probably start to get rid of it. You know, how reversible it is, you know, I don't know. There are media reports that say, you know, there's 18-year-olds that have lungs that look like 70-year-olds. And
That's not a good thing to read. That's not encouraging.
Right. And you know, the whole product is kind of evolving, both what goes into the device and the devices themselves. And so I think it's probably a few different events that kind of came together and kind of led to this outbreak that's currently going. And I suspect some of it traces back to that patent that I read the other day. There was a Juul patent. It was actually PaxLab at the time, but they spun Juul out of PaxLab. And the patent was really on the device that had the adjustable temperature. And they said right in the patent application that at the lower temperature, it was for the type of product that had nicotine. And they didn't really say what it went into the other product, but they mentioned that, you know, it was vegetable oil kind of or remember the exact terms. It's vegetable something else, but it's a term that essentially is the oils, and that has a boiling temperature that's higher, and that the device is designed so you can set the amount of current and determine how hot it gets and basically use either type of product. And from a marketing standpoint, that was probably a good idea because not only could you take the water soluble version that has nicotine, but you could use the same device for vaping THC, which is the active ingredient in marijuana, or these CBDs, which are kind of related compounds that don't make you high, but, you know, are widely touted as having various medicinal effects. And
that was the group of geese flying away for the evening, if you heard all that squawking in the background. Anyway, you were talking, so you probably didn't hear it.
No, I didn't hear it, but in any event, So that device, you know, like I said, they filed the patent at the end of 2016, and it got awarded a year later. And I think that device itself was part of the success of the Juul. That it was, you know, they looked like a thumb
Henry, drive. We still don't know. And we do believe, thanks to our listener who emailed me and then you about this China lead solder issue, we don't know. We do know, thanks to you and your connections, the CDC is considering this as a factor at the highest levels, but we have no data yet.
No. Right. Now there's a couple of hints. Now that they, like I said, they've been holding these hearings and Anne Shukin is from the CDC, and she made a couple comments, actually in her written remarks that, you know, it kind of depends how you read this, but,
right.
Yeah, it could be that they're looking at that. And she said that, they're investigating whether the disease may be linked to specific ingredients or contaminants in the devices.
There you
or
go.
A substance associated with e-cigarettes and vaping product use. And then she also said, users can modify the products and the heating process can also influence the types and amounts of chemicals a user is exposed to. So those two comments, you know, one you could read it that, you know, there's a lot of different types of products that are going into the device, and the other, you can read it that the device itself could release products. And I had mentioned this earlier, there were some studies that really started back in 2015 and they were really looking at the cloud, you know, the vape cloud, for what was in it. And they said there was lead, and they couldn't figure out where the lead was coming from, because they basically, the other two heavy metals they found, were in the heating coil, but the heating coil didn't have lead. But, that's a possibility that the lead may have been used in some devices, way back then, you know, back in 2015. But, they said the numbers were all over the place because they got samples from, attendees of, vaping, convention, or they just got them from the local universities or high schools in Baltimore. And, this was at Johns Hopkins. But, unfortunately, that study was done before these products came out that'll go to the higher temperature. And the higher temperature could have a much bigger effect. And so they did mention that, and she could mention that also, that, you know, the CDC doesn't do anything on the regulatory side as far as, you know, how good or bad these devices are, but they were started, that they have the expertise to actually, take a look at the product that gets inhaled and to assay that for various chemicals. And so, now that these other, you know, the devices with the variable temperature are widely available, yeah, I'm sure they'll be looking at that, and they'll be looking to see, if, what's inhaled is affected by, what temperature is at. And my guess is that'll make a difference, because they were able to pick up some heavy metals when it was only being heated to, you know, 250 degrees Fahrenheit, and now it's being heated to 500. There may be significant numbers of heavy metals. And then the other part is, you know, as we've mentioned, the idea that they're inhaling oil. You know, that, I mean, they mentioned that in the commentaries too, that, you know, that you can have cooking oils, you know, that are approved for cooking, and, you know, having them in food and having the oil go into your stomach is very different than, having the oil going into your lungs.
You might say that, yes.
And so, you know, they've noted that, you know, that's probably not that good of an idea. And so it wasn't really doable before these newer devices came out. And you know, some of these other products, you know, the CBDs are, you know, very popular now, and the idea of potentially vaping them is probably a pretty new idea, and the THC, the same thing, and so. You know, the fact that these other devices exist relatively recently, and these other products are more commonly available, and, you know, some of the, you know, marijuana has been locally been legalized in some states, and, you know, it's probably not that hard to get them, you know, in the mail or whatever. So you don't even have to be in the state where it's legalized to get the product one way or another. And, so, The way the vaping devices are used could be having an effect, and it's kind of all coming together now. There's a lot of different things that can go into the device. And they made that point also, that, you know, it's still a little bit of a mystery, because, you know, the vitamin E acetate's a good idea. If you look in one location like New York, then you say, oh, that's the problem, that, you know, it's in all of these cases that are taking THC, and that's 80% of the cases or so. And then, you go to another part of the country, and, the products just don't have it, but they still get the same disease. So it's unlikely that that's the, the cause. And that is kind of a lipid-like, you know, vitamin E is kind of the same thing as the THC as far as the structure is concerned. So, it's kind of added, I think, as a cutter. And I don't know if it, I don't know if it's an economic reason or if it's because it burns better or exactly why it's added there, but it's not clear that, that is doing any more than saying that yes, this person was smoking THC or or CBD. They were using an oil base, and it had the cooking oil or whatever and extract as well as the vitamin E extract. So
okay,
yeah,
let me do this. This Juul Labs CEO named Kevin Burns. Quitting, and announced Wednesday. Yesterday he's stepping down. It's a big announcement, and I wonder why he's really leaving. Let me see if the story says anything of any interest. Burns will be replaced by K.C. Crothwaite, who previously served as chief growth officer for a major tobacco company called Altria, which owns a 35% stake in Juul. All right. Juul Labs also said yesterday that it is suspending all broadcast, print, and digital product advertising of its products in the United States, and that it will not fight the Trump administration's proposal to ban all flavored e-cigarettes. Let me just continue here a little bit more. Crothwaite, who offered guidance as an observer on Juul Labs' board of directors, said one of his main focuses will be on reducing underage use of e-cigarettes. News of Burns' immediate departure, that's not the issue. He should be taking on the issue of people who are dead and hospitalized on ECMO machines from some kind of lung damage. But he's talking about, we're going to cut back the underage users. That's called misdirection. Anyhow, go ahead.
Well, there was also a merger plan with Reynolds Tobacco. So, and that's been called off. So, that was all set and ready to go. And now, they don't know if it's that good idea anymore. So I think those talks have ended. And so, yeah, Juul has probably got some major issues. And, they may be looking to go back more towards where they were, which was really, the initial pitch was more, an alternative to cigarettes.
It was a novelty in the beginning.
Right. Well, there was some rationale. I mean, that's how it was marketed. And of course, they would then run into a lot of, negative publicity and feedback because they, told high school students that it is 100% safe or, some terminology that made it sound like there was no problem with taking this. And then with the various flavors, they were getting high school kids to try it, not because they were looking to smoke, but because they liked the flavors. So the argument was that they were marketing to children, and the goal was just to get them hooked on nicotine, and so they would like the taste, and then they would start doing this while they were in
Here's
high
a little
school
story
or
on
even
that
middle
very
school.
Thing. Yeah, here's a little story on that very thing, flavored e-cigs, flavored vaping in Michigan, which has banned it. Where's my sound?
There are several states. New York has banned it, and I think California might have banned it also. And New York said that their rationale was, you can still argue about, the health and is the nicotine not as bad as the THC, et cetera, et cetera. But their concern was that the goal of these flavors was really to hook a high school students on nicotine so that they would, you know,
right. Atria, right. No,
as you mentioned, Atria is a tobacco. They own Philip Morris and Marlboro, I think, and they're a tobacco company. So basically, you know, if people like nicotine and they decide they don't want to vape, but they'll want to take cigarettes, you know, they're happy with that also. So I think the problem is that these are kind of unintended consequences on the health side. And I'm not sure how much testing or even thought went into, you know, making a device that would allow the temperature to get high enough so that you can take THC in an oil base and use that device the same way you can for the nicotine. And they certainly had that in mind when they filed the patent, because they specifically talked about the different temperatures that would be covered and how these, I think they call them vegetable glycans, how the vegetable glycans had a higher boiling temperature, but these devices could go high enough to take that and turn it into a vapor. And so marketing-wise, it was probably a good idea. You know, they had a whole new market that states were starting to legalize it, and CBDs were starting to become more readily available, and that people, you know, came to the conclusion that they could use these devices that they were using for their flavored nicotine and just crank up the temperature a little bit. And I wouldn't be surprised if some people just use the higher temperature because they can, just to potentially get a more smoke or vape, whatever it
buzz.
Is called.
Yeah.
And get it quicker. And so even if they're using it for nicotine, where they don't really have to get above, enough heat to get above 200, they crank it up so it gets to that temperature quicker and potentially, could release various heavy metals just because they're more likely to be aerosolized at the higher temperatures. So, and then the other question is whether the oil base just produced the damage to the lung more quickly, and so you're getting all these cases, and they're the first ones to end up in the emergency room. But very possible that the water-based products are just a little bit further along, that it's a little bit lower temperature, so you don't get sick after 3 or 6 months. It takes, 3 or 6 years. And those are just waiting in the wings, that people that have used the device at the higher temperature for several years would be much like cigarettes, that initially they don't cause health problems. It's after you've been smoking for 20 or 30 years that you start having problems. And it could very well be that these devices haven't been on the market long enough so that they may cause significant problems. And you're seeing that in some of the cases. I mean, a couple of the examples were, there are patterns when the numbers are low, but as the numbers get higher, the patterns start to fall apart. And as you said, there's 12 deaths. The 11th death was someone who was described as being a heavy nicotine smoker. So he died in spite of the fact that it sounds like he did not take THC. He was just into nicotine. And then the 12th death, I had mentioned that earlier. This was a 27-year-old woman in Mississippi who her husband called her and she was incoherent, and she ended up dying fairly quickly, and it took about 4 to 6 days before she was confirmed. So I didn't think she was actually going to end up being a confirmed case because it was taking so long.
Wow, sounds pretty miserable.
She was confirmed today, yeah. So that was the 12th case. And so she was younger. So it isn't just prior to that, all the cases that gave an age were at least 40 years of age. And
it'd be interesting to see if Big Tobacco turns openly against vaping.
Well, I don't know the history. I don't know. They may have been more against it initially because there was competition. When they bought up Juul, they were talking about merging, that they were kind of looking at it as being a way for the future, or at least in the U.S. I think that's part of it, is that there's enough bad publicity about cigarettes in the U.S. that the numbers were going down fairly steadily. So the percentage of high school kids that actually smoked cigarettes, I think, was down to 2 to 5% or something. It was going down, and vaping was going up. And so they may have decided to buy a stake or merge because that was kind of the wave of the future. So from a marketing standpoint, it was fine. But this outbreak now is really wide open as to why it's going and expanding.
Yeah, we need to underscore that word wide open. We don't know yet if lead solder is a factor, if it's predominantly a lipid issue. It could be both. This could be just a very, very bad thing to do.
And they did say that. They did say there could be multiple factors that lead to
this.
There
you go.
So it's not like one thing is going to do this, but the solder in the higher temperatures kind of gave an explanation as to why there was these converging things that were kind of all happening
right
about now. But they don't both have to be present, I don't think.
Right. Okay, Henry, thank you for the update. We'll keep covering this. I know you will. You're all over it. And thanks to you, the CDC did get the word from our listener about solder, and they are looking at it. I would absolutely think that is a factor in this, without question.
They were pretty excited about it. So.
Yeah.
At least the FDA was. The FDA was definitely got real excited.
Oh, very good for you.
I told them. Okay.
Congratulations.
So let's see
good
what
job.
Happens. We'll keep you posted. Okay. Take care.
Thanks, Henry. Henry Nyman, and there's the very latest on vaping for you. And if you have done it or are doing it, I think it's pretty obvious you ought to stop. Okay, we'll be back in just a few minutes with your calls, and I'd like to hear what you... I get so many emails, I thought I'd just do an open phone for an hour, see what you think about this Ukraine thing, impeachment, anything you want to bring up about all this. So we'll do that in our next hour.